Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. We encourage you as well to like and subscribe to our YouTube page at Largemouth Marketing. That's YouTube Largemouth Marketing. That's the production outfit for Bassmaster Radio. Well, it was a brown bass beatdown at the St. Lawrence River for the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open's Northern Division Finale, and Corey Johnston took the top prize with exactly 78 pounds over the three-day event, beating fellow Canadian Cale Clipson by 13 ounces. And the happiest man around may have been Scott Martin, who slipped into the 2022 Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic by virtue of Corey already being qualified. So now Louisiana's Tyler Rivette is on the bubble looking for another double qualifier in the final three opens. Corey is coming up in our Rapala Winner Circle later in the show. Ronnie Moore of Bassmaster Live is also on today to help us figure out the points for the Central and Southern Divisions as well. He has thoughts about next week's open at his home lake from his youth, Lake Norman, in North Carolina. And in the leadoff role, young Jonathan Kelly finished ninth at the St. Lawrence, and that was good enough to take the top spot in the Northern Division AOI and secure an invite to the elites.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I don't know, is it too soon to do a Meet the Elite segment? I mean, you know, it's kind of a Meet the Elite segment. I know nothing about Jonathan Kelly. I got to be honest with you. All I know is dude is from Pennsylvania. I know that he's a chandelier. I don't know what a chandelier is other than it's Coastal Carolina, but that's where he fished his college action, and that he is now qualified for the elites by finishing first in the points, in the AOI points, in the Northern Opens, finished ninth at the BassPro.com Open, Bassmaster Open at the St. Lawrence, and he joins us now. Jonathan, welcome to the show for your first time of who knows, maybe many.
Thank you for having me.
What's a chandelier? Tell everybody. I think I got an idea, but I'm not really sure.
Well, they pronounce it chandelier.
Okay.
But, I mean, everyone confuses it. You could say chandelier, chandelier. Some people say chandelier, like in your house. That's that really gets confused sometimes. But they do pronounce it chandelier. It's basically like a rooster.
So it's a rooster. Why don't they just call them the Roosters then? It'd be like the Gamecocks down there, Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
All right. So, what is it like when you see the imaging and it says Bassmaster Northern Opens qualifiers, Jonathan Kelly, Mike Iaconelli, Alex Redline? I mean, it's got to be pretty heady stuff for a guy in his early 20s.
That was one of the coolest things, and that was the one thing that really kind of made it set in for me. Cause like, even like after the second day of tournament, I knew I had made it. Even when we went out that night with some family and friends, everyone was kind of like, man, how are you feeling right now? And I'm like, you know what? It really hasn't set in. You know, it's just like tomorrow's another day. I got to go back out fishing. And kind of never dawned on me. I mean, I know it definitely dawned on me a little bit running out on that third day, because especially with the group of guys that we ran out with, to run out with both the Johnsons, and just to know, like, you know, you could compete with them is one thing, but no doubt seeing that post, like, with my name and Ike's name and Alex Redwine's name on Bassmaster kind of really hit the hardest. And that's kind of when I really had that moment where I was like, wow, I did just do that, and I made the elite.
Now, do you then talk to your buddies from college, your buddies from high school and stuff, and you're like, yeah, I'm an elite. Yeah, I'm a Bassmaster elite. You know, I mean, is that something that, you know, that's got to carry a lot of swag, a lot of confidence that's got to give you?
To be honest, I really haven't said it much. It's more of them saying it than me.
You know, it seems like this was the plan, though, for you all along. You guys have been planning for this. I had asked you earlier in the week. I said, you know, are you going to accept? Oh, yeah. You know, this is the whole idea was to make it to the elites. You got a beautiful rig, your truck and boat wrapped very nice with the JTK fishing on the side. So this is something that didn't catch you by surprise. This was your plan, correct?
Yeah, like I mentioned on the final day on stage, I fished another circuit last year, and I was like the first guy out from not making it to that next level in that series. And it's kind of one of those things that really stung, because it all came down to the last event, and I kind of had a bad tournament in the last event, and that kind of hurt me and hurt my chances from making it. So, but looking back at that, that was kind of like a blessing in disguise. I mean, if I was to have made it last year, I would have never been fishing the Opens this year. So it kind of worked out better. I mean, I've always wanted to make the elites, yeah, and that was always the ultimate goal and always the ultimate dream. So when this season came around, it was kind of like, you know what, this is the year. Like last year, we proved we could compete, you know, at that, the Open level. And even though I didn't fish the Open, just in another series, just at that level and that playing field of anglers. And this year going into it, we kind of like looked at the big picture, and my parents were like, well, what happens if you do make it?
Yeah.
And how can we prepare for this? And kind of, I wasn't even really considering getting the wrap at first. That was kind of my parents that were all for it. They were like, you know what, if we're going to do it, why don't we take that chance and let's try to get a few sponsors and let's get the boat wrapped. That way, you know, you'll have your image and you could start branding yourself. And that was the biggest thing, kind of, you know, trying to make a name for myself while trying to work my way up and, you know, just starting the Open.
Well, you know, look, if you'd have made the other series event, you would have kept fishing the Open, because ultimately everybody wants to be an elite anyway. So you come over anyway, just ask Ike about that. Anyway, so you finished eighth to start things off at the James River. That was a good deal right off the bat, making the championship top 10. Oneida Lake 37th, so you knew you were in pretty good shape at that point. Going into the Thousand Islands, what was your mindset there in terms of what you felt like you needed to do to hold into a, you know, in the top three spot?
Well, at Oneida, I thought I blew it. Like, being on that water, especially being on the water that first day when we were at Oneida, everyone struggled. I mean, there was a lot of good guys that fished that tournament, and they couldn't figure it out. I was one of them. And, you know, coming back to the dock that day, I was like, man, you really blew your chance of making, having even a chance to make the elites this year. But, you know, that's one thing I have learned, like, growing up and, you know, fishing more and more after fishing in college, like, you can always come back from a bad day. And I used to have, in the past, I'd have a bad day, and it, you know, it would kind of hurt me and affect me the next day. But now my bad days are sometimes followed by my best days.
Mm.
And that goes for both practice and tournament. So that second day of Oneida, I completely turned things around. I went from fishing smallmouth the first day to fishing largemouth the second day, and I caught 15 pounds. And when I did that and got to the scales, I was like, oh my, you might have just saved this season with 50 pounds of largemouth on a place that a lot of people don't catch largemouth.
Yeah.
So after that, going into the final event, you know, after seeing the points, it was like, wow, you saved your season in, you know, just a couple hours on day two of Oneida.
Yeah.
So going into St. Lawrence, I mean, I had a lot of weight on my shoulders. I mean, I do think I was in a good position not being in that top three going into the final event. I think I was tied for fifth. I think that was where I always would have wanted to be, knowing that I just had to go in there, catch them, dig, and I would make it. Versus if you were in that top three going into that final event, you had a little bit more pressure on you, and that might take a toll on some people.
Jonathan Kelly with us here, talking about him finishing first in the Northern Opens AOI, and he is one of the newest, or will be one of the newest, Elite Series anglers. Now, some people might say, yeah, he won the Northern Opens, but he's from Pennsylvania. You know, what does he know about fishing some of these reservoirs and down south? And a lot of folks that come down, I was one of them that came from the Finger Lakes to down south. It took me a minute to really learn how to fish these reservoirs. But because you went to Coastal Carolina, I imagine you fished a lot down here, and you know, this doesn't intimidate you at all, what you see down here in the South.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest blessings of college fishing. You have the opportunity to see so many bodies of water that a lot of older anglers that do, I think, fish a lot of the open don't even ever get to see until they do make it to that next level, just because of the travel. I mean, when I was at school, I mean, I fished in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. We went out to Oklahoma. We went as far up as Wisconsin, Minnesota. So Kentucky, Tennessee. So I've definitely been to a handful of places, definitely a lot more places than I'm sure the average 25-year-old fisherman has been to. So I hope that will be a good thing for me. You know, I definitely feel like I am versatile. Like, a lot of times guys ask me, what's my favorite way to catch fish? And I'm just going to be like, well, what's ever working? I really don't have a favorite way. It's just about trying to figure out what they're going to be hitting best on and feeding on the most. Right, and that's kind of what I like to do.
All right, before I let you go, Old Forge, Pennsylvania, north of Philly, east of Pittsburgh. Is it the Eagles, or is it the Steelers, or is it one of the New York teams for you?
Man, I might get in trouble for saying this one. I'm a Patriots fan.
Wow, my gosh, a Patriots fan. Well, you know, you're of that age. They've been winning ever since you were born, just about. So I hear that. But there you go, a Patriots fan stuck in Pennsylvania. Well, I appreciate you so much. Congratulations on a great season on the Opens. Congratulations on making the Elites. And we look forward to seeing you out there, man. Florida, okay, it'll be right around the corner. You guys will be heading south.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to that first event down in Florida.
Thank you. That's Jonathan Kelly joining us. A little Meet the Elites early edition of that. All right, coming up next, Ronnie Moore will join us from Bassmaster Live. He'll tell us what's next on the Opens. It's getting very, very exciting here down the stretch for the Bassmaster Opens season, if you will. It's all coming up right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And coming off a young Jonathan Kelly, I wonder if it occurs to my next guest what is about to happen, because he is at that age. We all have this age that we come to where all of a sudden there are people that we are covering in the world of sports that are actually now younger than us as opposed to older than us. And young Ron Moore is in, I believe, somewhere around his late 20s or so. And we're about to have at least two, maybe more, elites for the 2022 schedule that are actually younger than Ronnie Moore. And so that it starts to age you a little bit. And he joins us now from Bassmaster Live in a tremendous coverage that they did this past weekend on the finale of the Northern Opens. Ronnie, welcome to the show, old man. How are you?
Man, what a welcome. I felt the cold, steely welcome of that right there, that intro there. But no, Tommy Sanders made it well apparent to me. I brought up the fact that 8 of the top 14 anglers in the Northern Open points were 25 years old or younger. And he said, Mal, wow, you must be the old regime now. You're the old guard. And I said, man, I feel like I'm getting a little older being 28 and all these guys are under 25 having a shot at the elite qualification. So it is incredible. And I think it's a testament to the sport and to the growth of it. And everybody always wants to say, let's grow the sport. We have grown it perfectly. We just need to sustain it because all these young guns are coming and we just need to make room for them. so that they have a place to go.
We just talked to Jonathan Kelly. He thinks that Alex Redwine is young. I mean, Alex Redwine, we are getting dangerously close to having an elite that was born in this century. We haven't had one yet, but he will be, I think he's born in August of 99. And I think right now, I mean, he will be the youngest of the elites. Not only anybody's close to him right now.
I think he'll be the second youngest angler to qualify for the elites ever. And that's saying something. And so, yeah, I told that to my wife after Bassmaster Live on Saturday. I said, we're going to have a 2000s baby qualify for the Elite Series very soon. And Redwine, yeah, being 22 years old is very close. Jonathan Kelly, being 25, I believe, and I covered him in the College Series. And it is very incredible to see these young anglers. And think about it, JT Tompkins, he missed out by a good points margin, but he was fourth in points. He was the next man out of the cut. He's 19 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, we're going to have people, they're going to have to get, like, not only are they getting carded, but do they have a driver's license to be able to go to the event? That's the thing. That's going to be the question.
I mean, can't even have a frosty one after the tournament if they win some money to kind of celebrate. I mean, that's going to have to card. Got to card the guys afterwards. I mean, that's.
I will toast them with Mountain Dews if we have to, because I'm all good with that.
It's crazy stuff. And how about we've got Corey Johnston coming up? But I mean, my gosh. We need to change the name of the St. Lawrence River and Eastern Lake Ontario to the Johnston's ATM machine, because I mean those guys all they do is go in there and take money out. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's very impressive. We talk about it. I mentioned Cliff Prince at the St. John's River having, you know, so many top 20s there in Elite Series competition and only one event that was outside the top 20. And then when we compare the Johnston's up north, I think that the St. John's River is more of a known body of water than the St. Lawrence and Lake Ontario was prior to the elites going there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't a place that was widely known. The experience up there is a learning curve. So the fact that the Johnstons can dominate on their home playing field as well as they do, and the Johnstons even said, I said, how do you guys find five pound class fish compared to 4.5? Because it seems like when everyone's catching 23.5, you guys managed to catch 25, and you always have that pound or so more than the rest of the field and outpace them every day by about a pound. I said, how do you do that? And he said, man, we just know when to leave four pounders. It's so hard to leave four pounders because you're like, I'm going to weed through them and catch a five. They're just not always together. So we know when to leave four pounders. And I said, man, that's a lot of self-control and a lot of knowledge and ability to be able to do that. So it's very impressive what the Johnstons are doing up there.
Yeah. You know, when I leave four-pounders, never. I mean, for most of us.
Exactly.
You never want to leave those.
I'm still looking for four-pounders at the end of the tournament day.
Yeah. And it's not like they fish there constantly. I mean, they fish there at tournaments. They go up there. They fish tournaments. They practice and fish tournaments. It's not like they're there constantly. Ronnie Moore with us here talking a little bit about what's going on. And just to finish, I thought, on the youngins that have made it so far out of the Northerns, now that that's wrapped up, I believe that the guy who finished second, actually they finished all tied, 549 points, but the guy who finished second, that well-known kayak fisherman, Mike Iaconelli, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago after he won the kayak tournament, I think that Mike is older than Jonathan Kelly and Alex Redwine combined. I mean, think about that for a minute. Combined.
I didn't take it to that extent because I don't want Ike to be on my bad side, or I don't want to be on Ike's bad side. But I did say on the show, I think Iaconelli has more professional bass fishing years of service and experience than they do. They are born. I think they were born in the mid '90s, late '90s, and I believe he was starting his professional career around that same time. So it's very, very interesting. And think about it, how tough the series was. Nolan Miner. And I don't want to be biased on this, but Nolan Miner finishing 14th in the points, such a stud from the College Series, very well known angler from that series. He finished 35th, 38th, and 41st in the three Northern Opens. He had two checks and he missed a check by an ounce. That's how close he was and how good he did this year, and finished 14th in points. That's how competitive it was. Yeah. Normally for the qualification, you need to get a top 20, a top 40, and a top 60, and you're going to be pretty darn close to qualifying. He got three top 40s and was 14th place. That is incredible. And, Kelly, Iaconelli, and Redwine, vast experience differences there, but I think they're all prepared in their own right. It's going to be very cool to see.
I texted Ike and I challenged him to now fish an elite out of a kayak. I said, that's the next thing I want to see. I want to see you fish an elite in a kayak. Probably not allowed, but, you know, I'm just saying it. I think that would be good. All right, so next up is the Southern Opens. And by the way, I'll have to ask Corey whether or not he has heard from Scott Martin yet, which I believe he has, to be quite honest with you. I think Scott actually made a very nice offer to Corey, which Corey will talk about in the next segment of the show. But Scott Martin getting in, and that's good. That's good for the sport. I'm glad that he got in. He was one of the very few guys that dropped into points, and it was nice to see him get in to the Classic. And Tyler Rivette now in the hot seat, so he's waiting with bated breath to see what happens in this the Southern Open final.
Hey, 100%, and I'm not going to even avoid it. I'm going to tell you straight up, when Scott Martin qualified for the Elite Series last year, everyone who is a part of his fan base and anyone who pays attention to professional fishing says he's going to make a big splash and he's going to win some events and have a shot at Angler of the Year. He's going to be in the top 10. He's going to do all this stuff. Easy peasy qualifying for the Classics. It is great for the sport and Bassmaster, and it is very telling that Scott Martin finished in the mid-40s in points and just got into the Classic when we're winding down the year, because it was that tough to make a living on the Elite Series this year. You had to catch them, Tom, and you had to catch them better than most people ever have, and they showed up. We had a bunch of anglers really do well, and so now Tyler Rivette, wouldn't that be a great story with all the damage in South Louisiana for Tyler to get in with one of these last three Opens? And he had a great year, his best elite year in his own right, and a lot of different things that have adjusted and switched. But, man, this Classic field, ain't no slouches in it, that's for sure.
No, there's no doubt about that. And he'll readily tell you he screwed it up himself in New York. He just never experienced to have that kind of a deal in those last two tournaments up in New York. All right, in our last couple of minutes, you guys are heading, the Southern Opens will wrap up at Lake Norman, which can be finicky any time of year, especially maybe this time of year. Jacob Fouts is leading the points in the Southerns. This is a national champion a few years ago on a college series. Very good fishermen. David Williams, Blake Smith, they're all sitting right there. Right on their tail are some guys with some great experience. Keith Poche, Scott Ashmore, John Hunter Jr., Jacob Poraznik, who is leading the overall as well in the AOIs. Give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of what it's going to look like at Norman at the end of November or at the end of September.
I'm really excited for Norman because, Tom, that's my home body of water. That's the lake that I grew up cutting my teeth on when I was fishing weekend tournaments. I was seeing the Hank Cherries of the world compete in those same events, and I'm like, these guys are the best in the world. And now I realize they really are. But Norman should be great. There should be plenty of fish caught. You know, it's a spotted bass fishery. They bite even when largemouth don't want to. They should, depending on how the weather goes, if we have some cool nights, maybe not as hot days, there should be some schooling action, maybe a lot of boat dock fishing for sure. And that was my favorite thing in Norman. Boat docks are everywhere on Lake Norman, but not every dock is the same. So getting in on that pattern, whether it's pulse docks, whether it's dredge docks, whether they're floating docks, whatever they are, you've got to dial in the specifics of that dock pattern to make it work. But I'm looking forward to seeing maybe some schooling fish happen, and it will come down to ounces. I mean, we see some huge swings in the Opens with 200 boats fishing in them. It's not like the Elites where you can only make up 20 to 30 points in an event. You can make up 50 to 60 points if the right people have the wrong finishes. And so when you look at the top 10 in points, Fouts there got a 7-point lead on David Williams, former Elite Series pro, trying to make that comeback to the Elite. Blake Smith is the touring professional. And then you've got 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th are all active professional fishermen. Then Jackson Swisher, he is one of the youngest anglers as well. And he's right there tied with Poraznik. He came from the high school series. I know him very well. And then Josh Douglas in 9th right there tied with them as well. So there's a lot of really good anglers that we're going to need to watch out for to qualify for the Elite Series.
Wow.
And I wouldn't even count out a Sam George and Trevor McKinney down in the teens. You know, those guys are right there as well. Oh, the top 10 could do it for them.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Those two guys, very, very good young fishermen. I fished with Sam in an open once, and I'm very, very impressed by him. Trevor McKinney, he's not the one that keeps getting hit by lightning, is it? You know, you might not want to get...
Yeah,
don't get close to him.
Twice, for sure.
Yeah, nobody wants to get too close for him. Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure over there. And, you know, some of those docks, you know, in the back of the creeks that are laying real low, to guys that are real precise, being able to skip under those docks, are going to have some great success there. At Norman, we'll be watching it all on FS one, Ronnie Moore, along with Tommy Sanders and the rest of the crew, all handling Bassmaster Live for FS1. I think it's great to have these opens finales on FS1. Ronnie, I appreciate you as always, man. Great work.
We will see you soon, Tom. I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back. Rapala Winner's Circle is next, and we'll do that with Corey Johnston.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Hey, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Time for a little Rapala Winner's Circle. And, well, look, it's Corey Johnston again, and he takes the open at the St. Lawrence, the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open on the St. Lawrence River with an incredible total. When you look at this being a three-day event, I mean, this guy was just out of control. 25 pounds on the first day, 25.3 on the second day, and then you're coming in with a big bag on the final day to win $43,433 at the St. Lawrence River, which is better known as the Johnston Brothers ATM machine. And Corey joins us now. Corey, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
First things first, have you heard from Scott Martin? And if you did, when did you hear from Scott Martin? Because you put him in the classic, and I would think that he's very grateful about that.
He texted me. I mean, I had a million messages on my phone, and I was just trying to get through them after the tournament, and he was pretty appreciative. And I said to him, I said, dude, I gotta go saltwater fishing with you. And he said, man, he said, you come on. He said, I my boat fits 10 people, bring a group of buddies and come on down and catch some fish.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I texted him as well, and he was very happy to get in. He was one of the few guys that actually dropped in the points when they did the drop tournament, and he was like, "Wait a minute, what happened? This wasn't supposed to happen this way." And so he gets in on the basis of your 78-pound total. A fourth day, do you get over 100 pounds of smallie?
100%.
All on the Canadian side, or were you getting them on both sides?
I fished U.S. And Canadian. I probably fished more on the U.S. side, to be honest with you, than I did the Canadian side. That last day, I fished more on the Canadian side than I did the U.S. side, but it definitely would have been very easy to crack the 100-pound mark on that last day.
Now let me ask you this. The Canadian side, of course, was open for this event. It wasn't open earlier in the year in July when you guys went up there, and it's been open for the last couple of tournaments, regardless of circuit. Were there tournaments that were being run out of the Canadian side where just Canadian waters were open? So what I'm wondering is, were those fish maybe a little less pressured all summer than the fish on the U.S. side, or does it even matter?
No, there's still tournaments running on the Canadian side, and those fish get pressured as well. I mean, believe it or not, people do fish on the Canadian side, so it's not really like what everyone thinks, that that those fish don't get pressured. They're easier to catch, and that's definitely not the case. I wish it was.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how many, events they were running out of the Canadian side at this point, with the COVID and everything. They've been a little stricter up there than we have been in the U.S. Corey Johnston with us coming off of his win. I thought it was interesting. You kind of ran into a wolf pack of them pretty good on Championship Saturday. You were able to pull some that made it to the weigh-in out of a school, but there also seemed to be a lot of 3.5-pounders in the school as well. There was a lot of talk on Bassmaster Live about how the fish, when you find them in a school, they tend to be about the same size. Has that been your experience? I mean, where you could get into a school of them, and it's just it's a riot. It's a laugh riot to be catching 4-pounders in a school. But have you found that they all tend to school up at the same size, that if you're going for the bigger ones, you got to find them as lone wolves? Or can you pull a big one out of a school like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's 50-50 on that. It depends, really. There's sometimes you can get into little groups of 3 or 4 fish, and they're all, 5-pounders. But a lot of the time when you get into groups of, 10, 20 fish, you're going to get those 3.5, 4.5, 5.5-pound fish all mixed together.
One of the things that you did, I think that is a great, great lesson for a lot of anglers, tournament anglers that are out there, is it seemed like you had, 2 or 3 rigs set up that were exactly the same deal, where you would catch one on a drop shot, the bait might be messed up, whatever, and instead of jerking around with that, you literally just picked up another spinning rod and dropped right back into the school. Just talk about that a little bit, because that seems to be a really smart way to go, and a lot of us may not think that way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you get into groups of fish like that, I mean, a lot of the times when you're fighting these fish and they jump, the weight snaps off or your bait's gone. And when these fish are around you, you got to take advantage of it. So I got a bunch of rods rigged the exact same way, ready to go in case that happens.
Obviously, your brother Chris was having a good tournament as well. You know, he had had a win out there on the elite side already. He was good enough to be in the top 10. How do you guys communicate? I mean, how do you decide who's going where, and is it just a wide open competition between the two of you, or does it become a scenario where you say, okay, I'm going to leave these alone, you have that area, I'm taking this area?
No, we definitely try and manage our fish the best we can, and we really try not to cannibalize each other too much. We know enough water out here that we can kind of do our own thing, and you know, we like to see where we sit. If it's a four-day tournament, we'll wait till after the second day, and we each kind of do our thing, and then after that, then it's, you know, if someone's in contention to win, then obviously they're going to get all the juice, and the other guy kind of lays off a bit. But you know, the way we do things works out pretty well. We kind of do it a little bit differently every tournament, depending on the scenario.
You guys obviously got a lot of juice out there for the number of tournaments and the amount of money that you both of you have taken out of that place. However, I think it's a misnomer if people think that you guys just like live on the St. Lawrence and fish there all the time. You really don't, right? I mean, you guys are only out there basically leading up to an event, or if you had, I know you had an event there a couple of weeks ago that Chris won, and you did very well in it as well. But outside of that, it's not like you're at the St. Lawrence or at the Thousand Islands fishing all the time.
No, we never go there fun fishing. It's only a place we go when there's a tournament. So, I mean, I haven't been out there 50 times in my life. So, you know, it's not a place that we grew up on and have spent a million hours out there. It's just when we go there, we understand it, and we know how to look for fish there.
Corey Johnson with us here off his win in the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open. You talked about the, you know, the areas that you can go to and where you find these wolf packs of fish. Are you, when you go back there time after time, sometimes history can mess a guy up. Are you fishing same waypoints, or are you just looking for other things that look like things that were productive in the past? In other words, if they were on that pile of rocks, you know, last year, they're going to be on a pile of rocks that looks just like it, maybe 200 yards away or whatever.
No, we're always looking for new stuff, and I don't know that I've ever won a tournament out there off the same spot more than once.
Wow.
It's a place where, I mean, we're always looking for new stuff, and we just continue to broaden our horizons on the lake and expand to new areas. And, you know, it seems to work for us.
You know, there were years in the past where 664 points would have won the AOI on the Elite Tour. I mean, Seth Fyder just ran away and hid from everybody. Chris was second, Brandon Polinick, and third, Patrick Walters fourth, and then you in fifth. What an incredible year. But when somebody like Seth Fyder goes for 787 points, you just kind of got to tip your hat to him, right, and say, yeah, that's a hell of a year.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he definitely took the bull by the horns this year. And, I mean, there's nothing you can say about that other than it was an incredible job. And, I mean, I don't know that that'll be topped anytime soon.
Now, Patrick went and fished the St. Lawrence Elite Open because he did so poorly in the Elite. You were fourth there this summer. So, I mean, you had a really good tournament there. Did you have a good vibe going in, especially that it was going out of Clayton and you could run to the lake even quicker? Did you have a good vibe going in that you know? Would you have been disappointed if you finished anything other than a win? If you were second, third, fifth, would that have felt like a disappointment?
100% it's a disappointment. I mean, any tournament that I go to the Thousand Islands, I mean, any tournament that I fish in general, a second place is not a win in my books. And it's just kind of the mentality that we grew up with, playing hockey, playing sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's second best is no good. So we just continue to work hard and try and do the best we can.
You know, down south, it said Dale Earnhardt said that second place is first loser. So I guess maybe that's that mentality that you guys got up there when it
100%.
Comes, yeah, when it comes to this fishing deal. All right, we've seen pictures of you kind of hiding, drop shot baits and being, you know, secretive about what it is. Do you want to give us a little bit of a clue? I know you guys have been working on some new products with your manufacturers and stuff. You want to give us a little bit of a clue as to the secret sauce here, location or bait?
It's just going to be made with, we're designing it with Spro. Yeah. They're going to be the manufacturer. We're working with them, and it's just a bait that we've taken and kind of combined everything that we like into a drop shot bait into our own bait. And, you know, it's going to be coming out in the spring. I don't even have any left right now.
Yeah.
I couldn't even show you a picture of one if I wanted to.
Did you have them left, though, when you got there earlier in the week? That's the key.
I had just enough to split between Chris and I. We had probably 20 worms each going into the tournament.
And they do make a difference, right? I mean, these fish see so many goby-looking imitations or other, you know, fluke-style imitations or whatever that sometimes a subtle change in a bait, I mean, you could drop right next to another guy and your bait's getting hit and the other one's not.
100%. Like, my co-anglers, even in the Toyota a couple weeks ago and in this Open, I mean, they were shaking their head a little bit. And Cal Clemson finished second. He's a really good buddy of mine. And he was like, dude, you got to give me a couple of these worms. You got to give me some. So I gave him four worms.
Wow.
And he got into a group of fish that he couldn't catch. And he put the worm on, and he caught 2 5-pounders and 2 casts. And he was like, man, he goes, I'm a believer. He'll be getting some, I'm sure.
Talk to me about that co-angler deal, because I have fished the Opens down south for the last 3 or 4 years as a co. I do it as an experience thing, write stories about it for Bassmaster.com. But how is it for you? I mean, you're so used to fishing alone, fishing the elites, and then all of a sudden you're fishing with a co-angler. Is it something you enjoy? Is it something you endure?
I enjoy the people part of it. I don't enjoy the people fishing out of the back, catching fish that I worked extremely hard to find.
Right.
I mean, nothing against it, nothing wrong with it, but, you know, when I put in 1,000,000 hours out on that water and I'm, you know, burning gas, I'm burning time away from home with the family in order to find as many fish as I can and try and provide for the family, and you got a guy in the back of your boat that's just sitting back there and he's dropping down catching them, I mean, it is what it is. That's part of the game, but, you know, to say it doesn't play on your mind a little bit would be, you know, I'd be a little naive of me to say that it doesn't.
So you mentioned it, you and Corey, you know, you fish the tournaments that you guys fish up there, different circuits and so on. Have you guys fished team events there? And what's the biggest one-day bag the Johnston boys have ever put in the boat together?
Yeah, we fish a lot of team tournaments together. We fish all the team tournaments together for the most part.
Yeah.
The biggest bag that Chris and I have ever caught on the Thousand Islands together is $29.90, I believe.
Wow.
But a couple of years ago, we had a tournament. It was a 2 or 3 day tournament. And we had a bunch of fish marked, and one of them was a 7-pounder. We had some sixes. But we saved a bunch of fish for the second day. I think we weighed in 28 pounds, but we left some really big ones out there for the next day. So we definitely could have caught 30 pounds that day, but we laid off. To answer the question, $29.90.
Yeah. No, I know you guys are pretty strong as a team. You know, I live on Tim's Ford Lake, and you guys slipped into one of our tournaments, a club tournament here on Tim's in between Pickwick and in between Knoxville and Pickwick, I think it was, and you guys kind of hung out with one of your buddies and slipped out there and fished a tournament, took a little bit of money out of that deal. So I've experienced that firsthand. Good stuff, as always. Corey Johnston has been our guest. Corey, congratulations on the win, man, and we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Corey Johnston. I love those guys, man. I just love those guys. All right. We'll get a break in and we'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as we add this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond.
Now is the time to go to Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes and enter daily through October 18th for a chance to win a 2021 Toyota 4Runner Off-Road Premium, AFCO $500 gift card, Grizzly G60 cooler, a Yukonuba prize pack, and 1 year of dog food, and a large Big Green Egg integrated nest plus handler package. And while you're there, also enter to win the Bassmaster Fall Gear Giveaway, a $10,000 Bass Pro Shops gift card. You can sign up daily for the Fall Gear Giveaway through November 15th. Get your official Bassmaster merchandise at Bassmaster.shop. Hats, shirts, hoodies, and more, all from your favorite outdoor brands in great Bassmaster styles. Plus, Bassmaster.shop has official Bass Nation merchandise. Shop for yourself or get gifts for your friends and family. Look for great deals every week at Bassmaster.shop, like 40% off remaining classic gear. Bassmaster.shop is the only place to buy official Bassmaster and Bassmaster Classic gear. And have you ever wished that you could buy gear to support your favorite elite angler? Well, check out ProFishing.shop for select angler hats, hoodies, and tees, including championship gear from their wins. Check back often as the roster of anglers is growing every week. But now you can rock the logo of your favorite pro. Plus, check our exclusive lifestyle line, #FishOn, to proclaim your love of fishing. And take a look at the legendary Lake Series as well. You can even buy Bassmaster radio gear. That's profishing.shop. Well, let's take a look at the upcoming open events. The BassPro.com Bassmaster Open at Lake Norman is coming up September 23rd through the 25th. And then it will be the Bassmaster Open at Lewis Smith Lake. That one is October 7th through the 9th. I hope to see you there. I'll be fishing in that one myself. And then the finale of the Central Division will be the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open at Grand Lake, of course, at Grand Lake of the Cherokees in Oklahoma. That is October 21st through the 23rd. Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.